In our open and lead segment, we speak with New York State Senator Liz Krueger, and we're going to take a few minutes here, about divesting the state's pension funds from fossil fuels. As we pointed out earlier today, it was a very historic announcement in New York City that the city will be divesting its pension funds from fossil fuels, as well as suing the five fossil fuel companies for the damage they have caused by climate change. About 10 days ago, Governor Cuomo had come out and called for the state to divest its pension funds from fossil fuels. However, the governor does not have any role in the pension fund that's at the state level, controlled by the state comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, who's been very opposed to divestment. So we're going to talk with Senator Liz Krueger, who is the lead sponsor for state legislation to divest the pension funds from fossil fuels. So this is Mark Dunley, and I'm talking with Senator Liz Krueger, who has been the longtime sponsor of legislation to get the state pension funds to divest from fossil fuels. Recently, Governor Cuomo came out and said he supported the concept of divestment. And Senator Krueger, how does the governor's announcement about his support to divestment actually change the issue?
Well, I think it brings even more attention to this issue that some people know a lot about and some people know nothing about. So just to start again, I have a bill that would require Tom DiNapoli, the state controller, to divest from our pension funds any money invested in the 200 largest fossil fuel companies in the world. It's about $5 billion of our $200 billion pension fund. My legislation would give him 5 years to divest and gives him an out clause if any individual divestment of specific stock would cause a real risk to the pension dollars of the people of New York State who depend on his good investment in pensions. But $5 billion on $200 billion, not that much, but a significant statement by government that we should, one, not be investing in the most dangerous products that exist, doing damage to the future of our climate and the stability of the earth. Two, freeze up money to then be available to invest in sustainable, far less dangerous types of industries that should be our future in energy, green energy, offshore wind, solar, other kinds of models that will help ensure both a good return on investment and the right answers for the economy and the environment. Three, sending a clear message to all investors. Why are you putting your money in antiquated models that only cause damage to our economy and our earth? We know that in order to address the ever-shrinking timelines on climate change, we basically have to stop pulling fossil fuels out of the earth now. Should have done it 5 years ago. But we want to send the message that investors should not be putting their money into companies whose job it is to pull fossil fuels out of the earth, doing harm. We're not saying every company that might use fossil fuels for something should be divested from. That's a future world where no one needs to use fossil fuels. We're talking about companies who are not going to change their behavior because their bottom line is pulling fossil fuels out of the earth, and that's what we need to stop doing. So we think it's a win-win. As an investment strategy, get out of fossil fuels, as environmental policy to get out of fossil fuels, to invest these monies in sustainable green energy models, and that government, because it is looked at by so many others in society for investment advice, that it sends a message to investors across the board, it's way past time to stop investing in fossil fuels.
Now, I think as you mentioned, State Controller Tom DiNapoli has the right as a sole trustee to divest. He's not done that yet. Governor Cuomo, who doesn't really have direct oversight over the pension funds, has come out. So does that, other than some publicity, does that change the dynamics in the state legislature that they might be more willing to move this, or does that move Tom DiNapoli?
Well, Tom DiNapoli, I believe, has come out and said that he continues to take the position he takes. And by the way, I think overall Tom DiNapoli is doing an extraordinary job as the controller, an extraordinary job protecting our pension funds, and some very good policy when it comes to the environment. We don't agree on the legislature superseding him with a divestment bill telling him what he has to do. As I will say over and over again to Tom DiNapoli, if he wants to do it voluntarily and beat the legislature or the governor to the punch, that's just fine with me. The governor coming out in support of divestment is another important voice out there saying it's smart public policy for government not to be invested in fossil fuels. There are plenty of governments all over the world at this point who are second-guessing themselves and their past policies and divesting or changing their policies to move out of fossil fuels. We see sovereign nation funds pulling their money out. We see the World Bank recently announcing it's not going to be continuing to invest in fossil fuels. Several other of the international investment entities created by government to handle pensions and other large sums of government money are divesting. Private businesses, universities, municipalities, there is a growth in the movement of recognition that divestment is in no way a silver bullet solving our problems, but is a clear message that as an investment strategy, fossil fuels are a dying effort.
Well, in terms of investment, actually, I do understand that the not only the city of Ithaca, but the town of Cooperstown has divested. Happens to be that a former CEO or vice president of Exxon is now a town trustee in Cooperstown, and he led the fight. You have another bill in. I was actually kind of surprised to hear that New York State actually gives various forms of tax breaks and tax credits, about $1.5 billion to the fossil fuel industry. How do we continue to do that at a time when allegedly the state is, you know, on record as saying we need to move away from fossil fuels?
Well, exactly your point. So to help clarify, the New York State tax code is filled with things we get taxed for. It's also filled with exemptions, often called tax expenditures, where you don't pay taxes for certain activities. And the theory is if you want to incentivize or encourage certain kinds of economic activity, you decrease or zero out taxes on those activities. So I was shocked to see when I looked through the tax expenditure budget of the state of New York that in the 21st century, we had about $1.5 billion in tax exemptions and expenditures that we give out every year to the petroleum industry. We're not an oil state. We're not Texas. Why would we be giving taxpayer dollars to support the petroleum and fossil fuels industry? We certainly don't want to incentivize people to use fossil fuels, so why would we be giving them tax reductions for using them? So I believe, and my bill would do this, is to evaluate and zero out every tax expenditure for the petroleum industry unless upon of study and evaluation, the state actually said there's an overriding public good in continuing this. And the truth is the state of New York has billions and billions and billions of dollars that we give out as tax expenditures and exemptions every year without looking at them just because they've been on the books forever. So I also have another bill that would require a sunset on all tax exemptions and expenditures where they only got continued if upon evaluation and vote it was determined that they were justified and would continue. So that's a larger effort across the board on tax expenditures, but to start with petroleum and fossil fuel tax exemptions seems to me to be way past time.
Now, one issue that's gotten a little bit more traction in the last year has been the issue of carbon price and a carbon tax, and probably because the governor made what many of us felt was an ill-advised bailout of a couple of upstate nuclear power plants to about $7.6 billion. But he did that based on the social cost of carbon. And now the other electric producers are saying, well, great idea, Governor. Where's our subsidy? And so now the Public Service Commission is looking at that. The governor has also looked into the possibility of doing some type of regional approach to some type of carbon tax or carbon fee on transportation. And I know you've had a bill in, I believe, for a couple of years trying to do at least a feasibility study of carbon pricing. What's your sense of what needs to happen to make this thing move this year?
Well, I think we're also seeing growth in discussions about the carbon tax and the carbon footprint. So you're seeing regional proposals in different places around the country, and hopefully a regional proposal that starts to move forward here in the Northeast. There's group efforts to come up with a carbon tax, I believe, of about $35 a ton. The reason people talk about needing to do this on a regional basis is to avoid the hypothetical flight of business across state lines to avoid this kind of carbon tax. But if you're doing it for entire regions, you really help fight against that. So I think there's also excellent opportunity at least to get serious discussion of that going, because it's the combination of the need to address a growing crisis, the need for revenue by this state as well as other states, and the recognition that with the federal government almost going in full speed reverse of the things we need to do, the states have to up the ante and take care of themselves and protect their people, because the cavalry is not on its way from Washington, D.C.
To throw you a little bit of a curveball, I know that you had done a lot of work as an anti-hunger advocate for many years, both in the food bank and advocacy community, and also the state legislature. I was just sort of curious what your reaction was to the idea about the governor that it's time to spend $1 million to help create some food pantries on college campuses.
I was glad to hear the governor talk about the issues of hunger for young people. And as I heard it in his written speech, not necessarily in the verbal speech, we're talking about kindergarten through college. So the governor refocusing some attention on the crisis of hunger for low-income young people, whether they're 2 years old or 21 years old, is a good sign. The proposal to put government money into emergency food pantries, as you and I both know from our histories, you turn to emergency food when all your government programs have failed. When you have the right kind of government programs and the right kind of economy, people who are able to work for the wages they need to be able to take care of themselves and their family, food and rent and other basic needs. When that model has failed you, you end up with people who live in crisis and don't have enough money to meet their food needs. I would have loved to see announcement about expansion of SNAP eligibility and support for college students. Of course, under the federal law, only probably about half of low-income college students could be eligible for SNAP. But really, wouldn't that be a huge victory if every person in New York State, whether it was a child, a young person going to school, a senior citizen, a low-wage working person, if every person who was eligible for SNAP received SNAP, that would bring billions more into the state economy, which would have significantly greater impact than a few million dollars for emergency food. But I'll never knock somebody opening a food pantry or a soup kitchen to respond to immediate need when they're seeing it. My understanding is, at least in New York City, our public universities mostly already have emergency food pantries.
And we've been talking with Senator Liz Krueger, and this has been Mark Dunley for WOOC.